In India, as many as 3 million women are believed to be sex workers. They're often pushed into the trade because of extreme poverty or coercion. We bring you the story tonight of one organization that's helped more than 32,000 of these women find a pathway out. While this group has earned international awards and philanthropic support, it has also raised complicated questions about how best to help these women, especially those who aren't asking to be rescued. Fred DeSam-Lazaro has our story. It's part of his series, Agents for Change.
The games, dancing, and loud music mean it's Friday night at Prajwala, and the staff are taking a moment for themselves. Most of the women here share a deep bond over their complex, painful histories, beginning with the founder. She stands just 4'6" tall, but hers is a commanding presence.
I was a high achiever, and every parent thought, this is the model child.
That was until age 15, when she was gang raped by 8 men. Sunitha Krishnan says far more painful than the physical trauma was the social indifference or innuendo that she endured.
I was loose, I was fallen.
They were blaming you.
Everybody. And I had loose morals. We want a victim to behave in a particular way. We want her to feel ashamed, guilty. I chose not to.
Instead, she says the ordeal helped her focus as an aspiring social worker on the fight against what she calls an age-old culture of misogyny, manifest in sexual assaults and a thriving prostitution industry.
This is Prajwala's base camp.
30 years ago, she founded the organization called Prajwala, or Eternal Flame, to shelter women removed in police raids from brothels and to police the police, ensuring that raids are actually conducted and that the women, widely marginalized in India, are treated with respect. Since then, thousands have come through Prajwala's various programs. As I talk to groups of survivors around the campus, almost everyone's story began with dire poverty that left them vulnerable to an extensive trafficking mafia.
My husband's sister brought me to Hyderabad and sold me into the red light area.
Lakshmi Priya fell victim to a scam marriage scheme.
They took my daughter away from me, and for the sake of her safety, I used to do whatever they forced me to do. If I didn't, they would beat me very harshly.
My father died in a road accident, and I was left with a mother and a small brother.
Nazia became her family's breadwinner as a teenager and was convinced by a trafficker that there was better paid work in Hyderabad. It turned out to be in the sex trade.
Sometimes I used to attend 20 customers per day. They would make us drink and smoke, and if we didn't do the work, they would beat us very harshly.
I wanted to die instead of living this kind of life.
Siraj was promised training in a tailoring job 1,000 miles from her home in the capital, Delhi. She found herself in a brothel, and she found a razor blade.
After I cut my hand, a lot of blood came out, and I became unconscious. I don't know what happened later.
She was picked up hours later by police and eventually placed in this shelter. Today, she's trained and employed by Prajwala as a bookbinder, earning a decent wage.
This is a product that we are doing.
Bookbinding is one of several training initiatives that double up as revenue-generating businesses. Training survivors in skills ranging from tailoring to welding to carpentry, and paying them and their teachers salaries.
When they go to construction sites, everybody stands back. Oh my God, women welders, we have never seen them. So, coming from a perception which is indoctrinated into them in the brothel, that you go out, everybody is going to throw you out, nobody is going to accept you. Suddenly, when you get that sense of respect.
But the journey to achieving the success is arduous. It can take years to overcome trauma and learn new skills, and not everyone agrees it's the right approach to dealing with the sex industry.
Some human rights advocates and people who work in the sex industry
take issue with what they call the raid and rescue approach that brings women to Prajwala shelters. Most of these women, they say, are not actually trafficked and go into the business voluntarily, albeit because their poverty and illiteracy give them few other options. Nonetheless, they say, these women are in the business voluntarily and don't want to be rescued.
Why is someone doing domestic work, right? Why is someone doing factory work? It's not necessarily their number one choice of what they wanted to do. It's within the constraints of their education and their economic status.
Vibhuti Ramachandran is an anthropologist at the University of California, Irvine.
So why are we exceptionalizing the sex industry is a question worth asking, right? And then whose morality is shaping that?
Prostitution is technically a legal profession in India, but the law criminalizes related activities like soliciting or operating a brothel. Brothel raids are the most common law enforcement tactic, removing women who are automatically presumed to be trafficking victims and placing them in protective shelters for rehabilitation to which they're entitled by law. Ramachandran says the approach has been heavily influenced by U.S. policy in recent decades.
With the Bush administration in the early 2000s, where there was a lot of importance given to anti-trafficking and there was money associated with it.
The result, she and others say, is a patchwork of shoddy enforcement, many substandard shelters, and a confiscation of these women's most viable way to earn a living.
There's a lot of emphasis on training and reforming these women, right? But a lot of them say we don't have time for that. We can't afford to be learning.
We have books.
Sunitha Krishnan says the solution is to improve the quality of shelters and rehab programs. Prajwala receives high marks for its vocational training, but it too has faced protests from women seeking to leave its fortified shelters, including escape attempts and at least one woman who died from suicide. Getting released from a shelter often involves tedious procedures through a notoriously slow court system. And rehabilitation is no walk in the park, says Krishnan.
From trauma care to support in medical care, de-addiction, detoxification, all this takes time.
So it's not surprising, she says, that women want to escape from shelters, and up to 15% of them do return to sex work.
The large number of them have gone back because of other compulsions, like a Stockholm syndrome or a trauma bond that they have developed with an abuser.
When it comes to sex work, she calls herself steadfastly abolitionist.
Sex work, in your mind, cannot be a profession like most other professions.
I don't believe so. I believe it is the oldest form of patriarchal, legitimization of commodifying a woman's body as a sexual object.
Education is key to bringing fundamental change, to give young people options, Krishnan says. She took me to a mainstreaming program Prajwala runs in distressed neighborhoods to help children who are not in school through tutoring or school readiness programs. This, it is hoped, would mean a more straightforward vocational journey for the next generation than that of the women at Prajwala shelters and their children.
LLB first year degree.
Lakshmi Priya is reunited with her daughter, who's now in her first year of law school. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Fred DeSamlazaro in Hyderabad, India.